Well, today I want to end our series of encounters with Jesus in the Gospel of John. Each Sunday, we have briefly examined one of the seven miracles that John has for us in his Gospel. And each of these miracles of Jesus points to a specific aspect of this person, of Jesus Christ. If you will recall, several weeks ago, we looked at the miracle of the changing of water into wine, and we learned that Jesus is the great transformer. We looked at the miracle of the official's son, and we learned that Jesus has power and is not limited by geographical location or distance. We looked at the miracle of the paralyzed man at the pool, and we learned that even though it was done on a Sabbath, that Jesus prizes people over institutions. We looked at the feeding of the 5,000 in chapter 6, and we learned that Jesus can take whatever we offer him and make it sufficient to bless the multitude. We looked at Jesus walking on the water in the midst of the storm, and we learned that Jesus is master of nature. He is the Lord of the storm. Last week, we looked at the healing of the man who was born blind, and we learned that Jesus is the one who opens blind eyes physically as well as spiritually. And now today we learn about a dear friend of Jesus who has passed away. Let me tell you the story that is found in John chapter 11, and I hope sometime today, after lunch, you can pull the Gospel of John out and read the entire 11th chapter. We only read sections of it. Lisa did for us. But in this 11th chapter, we learn that dear friends of Jesus, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, the girls, the sisters, send a message to Jesus that his dear friend Lazarus is very sick and is nigh to death. And Jesus does something that's very strange. And I don't know, as you were listening to the reading, if you caught it or not. But after being told that his dear friend is dying, Jesus delays in going. Do you find that shocking? I certainly do. Why would he delay? Why would he not go immediately? He's about a day's journey from where they are in Bethany. He has spent a lot of time in their home. How do we know this? As you read through the Gospels, pay attention to how many times, A, it's mentioned that he stays in Bethany, and B, that he stays in the house of Mary and Martha. So he's very close to these people. In fact, during the last week of his life upon this earth, before he enters into Jerusalem and then goes through his last week and gets crucified to the cross, guess where he's staying? He's staying in Bethany. We have every reason to believe that he's staying in the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And yet when he receives word that his dear friend is sick unto death, this healer of physical bodies delays in going. Have you ever found that God delays in your life too? Well, let me just ask you, you got any prayers you've been praying for weeks, perhaps months, and even in some situations for years, And there doesn't seem to be an answer to those prayers? Where is God? Why is he delaying? What is going on? Do we have examples of the delay of God in the Bible? We do. Several. I'll just mention a couple to you. This one, of course, which is shocking. But then the real big one in the Old Testament is when his people, the Jews, are taken into slavery in Egypt, and they're crying out to God for deliverance, and they're praying and asking for God to intervene. They are there for 400 years without any action that we can perceive on God's part. What's going on? And yet, when it came time for God to act, he went to Moses and he spoke these words from Exodus chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. He says this to Moses, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying because of their slave drivers. And I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey." It took 400 years for God to act. Why? I don't know if you know the name George Mueller. You should read his biography. It's just a little paperback. You can go on Amazon or your favorite place to buy a book, and you can look up the biography of George Mueller. George Mueller was born in Germany, but he felt called to be a pastor, and he ended up in England. And while he was in England, he saw all the street children, and God burdened him for the street children, and he developed an orphanage. And in his lifetime of running an orphanage, he served and ministered to over 10,000 children. Well, if that's not shocking enough or surprising enough or wonderful enough, you also need to know that George Mueller refused when he began his ministry to ever take a salary. Now, don't get any ideas. But he decided that he was not going to take a salary. What he was going to do is that he was going to say, "God, if you've called me to do this ministry, you'll provide." Now, I'm telling you, folks, that's risky stuff. And he became known as a man who became a powerful prayer with tremendous results. May I just give you one example? Talk about the delays of God. Over 300 children was in his orphanage at the time. It was time for breakfast, and then he was sending them off to school. There was nothing at all in the orphanage for the children to eat. Not a bite. Nothing. The children are gathered at the table, huge tables that they had erected in various parts of the orphanage. The plates were there, the cups were there, the silverware was there. There was nothing to eat. Let me share it with you as it comes from his biography. One morning, all the plates and cups and bowls were on the table, but they were empty. There was no food in the larder and no money at all to buy food. The children were standing, waiting for their morning meal, when Mueller said, "Children, you know we must be in school on time." Then lifting his hands, he prayed, "Dear Father, we thank thee for what thou art about to give us to eat. There was a knock on the door. The baker stood there and he said to Mr. Mueller, "Sir, I couldn't sleep last night. Somehow I felt you didn't have bread for breakfast today, and the Lord wanted me to give you some. So I got up at 2 a.m. and I baked some fresh bread and I brought it to you." Mr. Mueller thanked the baker, and no sooner had the baker left and he put the bread on the table than there was another knock on the door. It was the milkman. He announced that his milk cart had broken down in front of the orphanage, and he'd like to give the children the cans of milk so that he could repair his cart or the milk will spoil. Well, there's the rest of the story. Here it is. That same man who could pray and see results like that for 52 years prayed for two boys of his friend who were not only not believers, they were hellraisers. For 52 years, he prayed that those boys would come to faith in Jesus Christ and allow Jesus to transform and change their lives, and nothing happened. And in 1897, Mueller died after praying for those boys for 52 years and not seeing anything. And 2 years after his death, both boys had a radical conversion experience and became dynamic Christians. Why the delay? Well, Jesus tells us in this chapter, and I want you to see it, because when God delays in your prayer requests and in your burden and in your heartache and in your suffering and in your struggle, perhaps these same things can apply to you, which will give you the strength and the faith to hang on and keep on keeping on. There are three things Jesus points out about his delay that you and I need to know. And that is this. You ready? Always remember that verse 5 comes before verse 6. You say, what? Of course verse 5 always comes before verse 6. Oh, no, 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 you don't get it. Let me read verse 5 for you. In verse 5, after he's told that his dear friend Lazarus is sick, nigh unto death, verse 5 says this, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." Do you hear it? Jesus loved these three people. He loved them. We know that because even when the sisters, this is back in verse 3, when the sisters sent word to Jesus that Lazarus was dying, they said, "The man you love is sick." They knew that Jesus loved them. Now, what is verse 6? Verse 5 says, he loved them. Verse 6 said, "So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. So here's what I want you to notice, my dear friends. The delays of God in your life and mine are never because he doesn't love us. We must remember that. But here's a second thing. Because Jesus goes on to say to them, "I'm really glad I wasn't there." What? Yeah, I'm glad I wasn't there. And of course, you and I know this Jesus, had he shown up and Lazarus hadn't died, he'd cure him. He'd heal him. And we'd miss a greater, grander, more mysterious and glorious miracle. And so here's what Jesus says to his disciples in verse 4. He says to them, "This sickness will not end in death." Well, there will be death. It's just not going to end in death. Catch that. No, it's for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. The second reason why God delays is in order to reveal His glory in a greater dimension. We don't know that when the delay is going on. Look at the deliverance God gave to His children in Egypt, the parting of the sea. Are you kidding me? His glory was displayed. And here in Lazarus, what's coming up is going to be far more what Martha and Mary and the Jewish people of that time could ever possibly expect to happen. And the glory of God is demonstrated. So when God delays, it's not because He doesn't love you. And when He comes to your rescue, you will see His glory in a greater and deeper and more magnificent way. But there's a third reason that Jesus gives us in the text. And that, you got to jump down to verse 14. And in verse 14, it says this. After He had said this, and what He does is he talks to Mary or to Martha, and He says, after He says this, He went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up." And then here's what He says. "I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe." He says that to the disciples. "I'm glad I wasn't there, because when I get there and you go with me, I'm going to do something that will make your faith deeper and stronger in every way. Let's go." And so, my friends, please, please hear me. Does God delay in our prayers and in our life? Oh, you bet. It's happened to me dozens of times. It's happened to you. It's happened to churches. Well, why does God delay? It's never because He doesn't love us. It's to demonstrate His greater glory when He does arrive and do what He knows is right for Him to do. And it creates in you and me a deeper, firmer faith in Him. Here's the second thing we'll learn from this great miracle. Not only does God delay sometimes, but we also learn that it's never too late for Jesus. We didn't read this passage all the way through. That's why I really encourage you to do it when you get home. But when He finally gets there, Martha rushes out of the house and goes out and meets Him. And here's the first words on her lips. And you can understand this. This would be our first word too, I'm sure. She goes to Him and she says, "Oh, Jesus, if you'd only been here, my brother would not have died." We know that they must have talked a lot about that, Mary and Martha, because Martha says that to Him as soon as she gets to Him. And then later, after a conversation with Martha, they go back and get Mary. By the way, Mary didn't come out with Martha. Do you suppose she's a bit ticked? Seriously, people? Where was Jesus? We sent word. We thought He loved us. Why did He do? You can go, Martha. She comes, and what's the first thing from her mouth? "Jesus, if you would only have been here, our brother would not have died." You ever lived in the if-only world? Oh, I've been there. Don't live there, because living in the if-only world means that there's no solution. If only things would have changed. If only I would have gotten the job. If only I'd be in a better position. If only I'd have a stronger marriage. But I can't have it now. It's too late. And so Jesus says to Mary and Martha, by his actions and by his words, forget about if only. I'm here now. And I'm going to do something that is going to rock your world. Nothing good ever comes out of living if only. It expresses the message, you're too late for anything to happen. And when you talk about Jesus, it's impossible to talk about it being too late. When I first started with you, it was Christmas time, and I think Arlene was the person that gave me a coffee mug, and on it it says, impossible is God's starting point. Yeah, that's right. In an impossible situation this morning, so it looks like. And you say, oh, if only. Well, let me tell you another thing that this great miracle teaches us. It teaches us about his delays. It teaches us about the fact that it's never too late for Jesus, ever, even when death takes place. But we also learn in this great miracle that no one cares like Jesus. No one cares like Jesus. In verses 33 and 34, Jesus, if I can say it this way reverently, emotionally, loses it. In verse 33 and 34, he gets to them, he talks with Martha, he talks with Mary, and then he says this. He says, when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, I'm at verse 32, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. Now watch this, watch this. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Two things from the Greek here that you just need to know. He was deeply moved means that emotions rolled over him. And in the weeping of Mary, as she falls at his feet, and the Jews around weeping for Mary and Martha, Jesus begins to cry. And tears roll down his cheeks. It's a deep emotional experience from the Greek. But the word troubled means it borders on anger. What? Anger? What's he angry about? Yeah, it's the word. And the Greek word here, let me be clear, the Greek word here is the word that is used to describe the snorting of a horse. You've heard that. So what it is there's an involuntary gasp that comes from Jesus. And we begin to recognize that not only is Jesus touched with the grief of Martha and Mary and the Jews, there's something deeper going on here, my friends. There's something far deeper than just the fact that he's witnessing the grief of those who've lost a family member. He's angry that death has invaded his creation. He is angry that sin has entered into the world and created such heartache for people. It's just a little while before he goes to the cross, and the snorting that he gives, he knows that within just a few weeks, a few days now, he's going to go to the cross and reverse the curse and destroy death, not just for a moment for Lazarus, but for the entire world forever and ever. He's angry that sin and death has entered his creation, and he grieves. Well, let me close. They take him out to the tomb. They roll the stone away. Martha says, you know, by now he's going to stink. I love the old King James Version that I grew up on. It says this. You can look it up. Check me out. Lord, behold, he stinketh. You think? 4 days? They pull the stone away. And Jesus, with tears still coursing down his cheeks, shouts a command. Lazarus, come out. Biblical scholars have said, it sure is a good thing he said Lazarus, or every dead body in their graves would have come out. And Lazarus comes out. It was not a suggestion. It was not a hope-filled word of encouragement. It was a command to death to release its grip on Lazarus. And he came forth. Oh, I got to close. How'd the people respond? Just like today. Many believed. It says so in the text. Yeah, you can read it on. Many believed. Who wouldn't? I mean, seriously, folks, who wouldn't? In fact, you know what my question is? How in the world could you be present and witness that and not believe in Jesus? You know what the answer is? The same way people today can hear about the resurrection of Jesus Christ that took place 2,000 years ago and still choose not to believe. It happens, my friends. It happens. Some believed. Some plotted his death. And if you read the rest of the chapter, this is when they said, we got to kill this guy. And they want to kill Lazarus too. And that's the response we get from the world, my friends. But what do we learn here? We learn that even though there may be delays, he loves us. We learn that his greater glory is going to be manifested in whatever it is we're struggling with that we're delaying. And it may be until you get to heaven. But I promise you, friends, if you outlive the answer to God's delay, you're going to walk through the gates and say, oh my goodness, it was worth it. And also, he delays that he might deepen your faith and my faith, because it's never too late for Jesus. Never. Oh God, you know those who have been praying and nothing's happening. You know those who've been struggling with things in their life and they can't figure out why they can't get it under control. And they wonder, where are you? When are you going to show up? What are you going to do? Teach us, Lord, not to doubt your love, but to hold on as tightly as we can, knowing that when we lose our grip and can't hold on any tighter, you have a hold of us and you will never let us go. Amen.